Absolutely, and extremely frustrating. And from a government point of view, I'll be very eager now to support the Minister for Health, the Department of Health and the HSE, and really applying maximum pressure here to get this job finished. This is for anybody from Donegal who's been up in Dublin recently, I mean, this is a hospital building when you drive by it, which is vastly complete. There's obviously some small elements, important elements left to do. We really, really, really need to see this open and open urgently, because while there has been, understandably, a debate around the cost of the hospital, what there's been very little focus on so far is the benefit it's going to have to sick children from all parts of Ireland. Children who might be in Crumlin today with their mum and dad sleeping on the floor last night because there aren't proper family rooms, there aren't proper ensuite rooms in many cases. And again, a lot of sick children who spend a significant period of time, many months in some cases, in this hospital. So this hospital is going to be transformational for children's healthcare in Ireland. We need to get it open as a matter of urgency. And I think we need to really scrutinise what we're being told now by the developer, scrutinise it both in terms of the words but also in terms of the contract, and apply maximum pressure to get this hospital handed over.
Do the board have enough teeth to do that, or is that something that happens above that layer of administration?
Both, but I think the government will be very eager to support the board in making sure that this project is completed urgently, and we look at all the levers at the disposal of the board and the government in relation to that.
Well, your government greenlit the budget, $2.24 billion, I think it was. Do you expect that to rise now?
It's always impossible to say the final cost of any project, because what happens is, you know, a developer puts in a claim and says, you know, it's going to cost this amount or that amount, and then often the board ends up actually rebutting and often successfully rebutting that. So they've been very successful so far in actually pushing back on many of the extra claims submitted by the developer. So unfortunately for many, many projects of this scale, the actual very final cost isn't known until after the project is completed. But I can tell you this, we've significantly resourced the board to be able to make sure that any claims that we believe to be spurious or excessive are defended on behalf of the taxpayer.
You know, as you would know, we are in the mouth of the local and European elections, and that brings some of the big issues to the fore for many people, some of the topics that have been dominating the debates, not least, of course, defective concrete. At the moment, we've a scheme that many see not fit for purpose. Lots of families are seeing a significant shortfall in funding to rebuild their homes. And as you know, they are the complete innocent victims in all of this. I mean, there is a multi-billion euro scheme there in place. Surely it should be expanded, Taoiseach, so that it is fair to, if not all, the vast majority of people trying to access it.
Well, look, I am very conscious, as you've said, as you've rightly said, that there is a very, very expansive and large scheme in place, as there should be, to help people who are living in the most horrific circumstances in terms of anxiety, stress and financial concern in terms of their family home. There is also a number of structures that have been put in place in terms of a technical matters steering group, for example, in relation to the defective home scheme. So, look, I'm very eager that the department and the government continues to engage with the community and with representatives in Donegal to make sure that the scheme delivers for people. This is a massive scheme, though. I mean, we're talking about a scheme that is going to run to the billions, and there's already been many applications received into the scheme. I'm just reading some figures I have in front of me here. I think the 1,644 applications have been received to the previous scheme, 436 to the enhanced scheme as well. So there's quite a number of applications that are already in. But it is, I mean, what I am told is that there's preliminary research results that do form part of the NSAI review, and it is too early to draw some conclusions in relation to that matter until the full review has been completed. So there's a lot going on in this space. We're eager to continue to work with people in Donegal and other counties to make sure that the scheme is delivering in the way we wanted it to.
Could you see it be expanded, though? Do you believe it to be expanded? If it's proven that the majority aren't getting 100% redress, would you like to see that reviewed? Because, I mean, I'm not sure if it trickles down to your office, Minister, but the impact this is having on people's well-being, you know, pensioners who are afraid that if they die mid-scheme that the claim for rebuilding costs goes with them, you know, families who literally have nowhere else to go and the house is unheatable and the kids are in bedrooms that have got black mould all over the place. These aren't, I'm not cherry picking, you know, two or three really emotive stories, but I just hope I've a lot of respect for you, but I just and so I know you'd want to hear this. I just hope that the reality of people's lived experience, the thousands of families, sort of gets to your ears, so that you know what I mean. It's not, I'm not being anti-government or being dramatic. It's just I kind of feel I have a responsibility to make sure that you hear how bad it is for people up here.
No, look, you're being very fair, Greg, and I wouldn't expect you to do anything less. And I want to assure you and your listeners, and I want to assure those families that I am very aware of those stories, very aware of the stress, the pressure, the anxiety. Came up with me recently at an Oireachtas committee. I've received correspondence from deputies in the region as well. And what I will do, what I will say to people in Donegal today is that I will keep an active interest. An active interest in this matter. I know how serious it is for people. I know how stressful it is. I also know how dangerous it can be. And I will continue to keep a very active interest liaising with the Minister for Housing. I think the key thing we must do as a government here is keep the lines of communication open to make sure that the scheme we've put in place delivers. A lot of money has gone into the scheme. I don't say that in a self-congratulatory way. It's important we do this for people. And therefore, we do want the scheme to deliver for people. So we'll certainly keep active lines of communication open, and I'll personally continue to take an interest in the issue.
I appreciate that. And just a couple of points on this. One of the big problems is that awful pressure for people to try and project manage this all by themselves. Would that be something that you're interested in looking at?
Yeah, look, I think that I can understand the logic in that, in terms of, you know, as you rightly say, alleviating some of the stress and pressure from families, and also perhaps having a degree of expertise that can oversee the project. I certainly think there's a logic in that. I don't want to, because these families don't want to be given kind of flippant comments by government on radio. I am happy to talk to the minister about that and explore that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a scheme that is now open. As I say, we've received over 1,600 applications already, and over 350 applications to the enhanced scheme. I mean, what I want to see here is I want to see delivery for people here, people who've been living in the most horrific of circumstances and with the most horrific of circumstances. I want to see the money that we've set aside beginning to flow now, so that people can get some peace of mind. And if there are anomalies or issues that pop up along the way, as I hear the community saying, I'm eager that we engage in good faith and see if we can work through them.
Yeah, because we all have a responsibility to spend tax money responsibly. As you said, there's a huge amount of money going into this. So can you see the sense, Taoiseach, in rebuilding homes on top of foundations and rising walls that the science has already shown to be affected by these materials that damage the concrete? You know, surely, and you talked of the figures that are entering onto the scheme, they would be much greater, but I think a lot of people are holding back because Sinn Féin have promised a bells and whistles sort of approach to this, at least for the principal private residents. People are holding back because they can't see the logic of rebuilding on foundations that are already proven to be failing, and also the rising walls. It doesn't make any sense, and it's just, if we don't get this right now, Taoiseach, we're going to be returning to this in 10 or 20 years, and it's going to cost the taxpayer even more.
Yeah, look, I mean, what I would say is this. I mean, I'm not going to play politics with this in terms of what other parties say. I'm sure everybody approaches this in good faith. But what I would say is this. I mean, we now have an implementation steering group in place. It's put in place for this very reason, to tease through and work through issues. I understand it's already met several times in the last few months to keep both the regulations and the guidelines under review. I think it last met on the 26th of April as well, and on that occasion they were discussing issues around the mortgageability, if that's the word, of the remediated homes as well. And I know they're looking to very shortly to issue updated guidance to homeowners to access funding for certain works at an earlier stage, and that guidance is going to issue to the local authority shortly. That was something that had also been raised by families in Donegal, this idea of being able to access the funding at an earlier stage, but this problem that was making it challenging for some people as well. So look, what I'm saying here is our work here isn't done. I get that. We have a very ambitious scheme in place. We've over 1,600 applications plus an extra 350 on top of that. We've billions set aside. We have an interagency steering group to look at implementation. And the very purpose of that is to keep all issues under review. And the issues that I've heard from you this morning and the issues that I've heard from representatives in Donegal are ones that I'll feed back into that process now. And I'm happy to keep in touch with you and your listeners on this too.
Yeah, because there's silly little anomalies in this. So say, for instance, my house was in a very bad condition and there was a wedding coming up or a confirmation or something like that there, or I just couldn't look at the cracks anymore. If I were to fill those cracks and paint the wall to try and make the house more bearable, I couldn't get on the scheme, because you get on the scheme by a visual a visual survey. So the engineer would come out and look at it, see that the cracks aren't visible, even though they might be present but not visible. And that means I couldn't actually get on the scheme. So we can't even dolly up our houses a little bit in the interim. You know what I mean? That's not common sense, Taoiseach. I'm sure you would agree. Well, I can't put words in your mouth. But it's those little things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, look, and we have to tease through this, because we have to remember at the end of the day, there's human beings in here, there's families involved here, and there's also, as you rightly say, family occasions and day-to-day family life that people are trying to get on with for their kids and their parents and their grandparents and others too. So I am proud, quite frankly, that we've put a scheme in place. I'm proud that we've put a scheme in place that is quite extensive, that there's a lot of consultation that did take place with homeowner action groups and others, but also with the councils, because they have a big role to play in this in terms of the delivery. It is now open. The money is now available. Applications are being received. People are applying. I mean, I do say that again, not to be argumentative, but just to give a bit of context. There are people, well over 1,000 people, closer to 2,000 people now actually who have applied.
I do get that. But just one final
There are people getting practical help today. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
One final one on this. Childcare facing a crisis here. You know the importance of childcare right across the country. The likes of Letterkenny Community Childcare, Childcare Services in Rafoe and Ardragh, these are towns around the county. Several other facilities are affected by defective concrete. In fact, it's estimated, Taoiseach, 40% of childcare facilities in Donegal are affected by defective concrete, and they're going to be protesting next Friday because they say the government is offering no support to rebuild these facilities. I'm sure you don't want to stand over that, Taoiseach, do you? 40% of childcare facilities affected by defective concrete in this county, they estimate.
Excuse me. What I can certainly say to the childcare providers in Donegal is, I mean, we're investing a very, very significant amount in capital supports to expand, refurbish childcare facilities, and let's see if we can find a way to help these childcare facilities, even if it's outside of the context of the current scheme, if there are other ways we can help and support them. So I'm very happy if that delegation wants to write to me. I'm very happy to engage with both the Department of Housing and the Department of Children and see if we can make progress on that, because what we certainly want is an expansion of childcare places, not a reduction. We certainly don't want our childcare facilities that aren't safe in terms of defective concrete either. So I'm offering this morning on Highland, if people wish to send me correspondence on that I'll personally engage with the Department of Children and the Department of Housing on behalf of that group.
Just generally on services, as you'd be aware, Donegal County has become the home to the second highest amount of Ukrainian refugees in the state. There's 2,000 IPAS applicants here, and thankfully, for the most part, are integrating well and have been well received. But as you can imagine, this puts great pressure on our services, you know, schools, particularly GPs, dentists and all that type of stuff. I recall earlier this year, your predecessor, Leo Varadkar, said he was putting together a special package to help such areas that are under pressure. Do you know if anything came from that, or what can your government do to sort of try and ease the pressures? Because, you know, an awful lot of the bad feeling doesn't come from where people are from or how many are coming here, if the truth be told. It's actually really, when it comes down to a competition for basic things like getting a GP's appointment or getting a bus. You know what I mean? It's not based really
on
any
horrible
stuff.
So I want to answer the question directly about resources now, but I just want to say this, because I'm really glad you said this, because there's an effort by a small number of people in Ireland to be quite divisive on this, to be quite extreme on this. That's not my experience, though, of most people across the country. So when I meet people in most parts of this country, you know, there's a very, very, very significant difference between being an extreme far right kind of racist individual and being a decent person in County Donegal, just wanting to know, hang on a second, what does a growing population mean for my local school, which is at capacity, or for GP services? So I'm very interested in talking about the second while condemning the first, if you get me. Now, we are finalising, you're right, Leo did make commitments in that space, and we are finalising what a new round of supports for communities look like. I now chair a cabinet committee on migration. If I'm to be very honest with listeners in Donegal, I think up until now, the approach to migration policy has been far too siloed. I've said before, and I say it again, if passing the parcel was an Olympic sport, we were at risk of getting a gold medal here in terms of one agency saying that's a matter for another agency. I have a unique role as Taoiseach in terms of an ability to bring agencies together and to start looking at this in the round and to say this is not just about an emergency situation anymore. It's more about actually what does a sustainable model of migration look like. On Ukraine specifically, I should say the number of people from Ukraine has dramatically reduced. And as a result of that, and I also want to say, by the way, so many Ukrainian people have integrated well into our communities and are playing a very important role in local businesses, local shops, kids in our schools. But the number of Ukrainians has significantly reduced. What that will mean is over the summer months, about 68 contracts for accommodation that has been used for Ukraine will not be renewed. I don't know if any of them are in Donegal, truthfully, off the top of my head. But what it does mean is that maybe hotels or facilities that had been taken out of community use for Ukrainian accommodation will start to now being put back into community use. And I think that's an important sign for people to see in terms of moving away from this emergency response to a more sustainable model.
Our local hospital, 80 GPs, 11 consultants from Donegal, kind of unprecedented last year, wrote to the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, expressing their concerns about the deepening crisis there. They effectively said there could be a services collapse. Our hospital here has a 38% higher attendance rate than the national average for a Model 3 hospital, a higher admission rate than average also. So as you can imagine, this puts great pressure on the services, the staff, the ED. It's funded as a Model 3 hospital, Taoiseach, but it's really a Model 3.5, a phrase we've coined up here, or even a Model 4 in terms of its workload. Would you support its status being reviewed? I know there's been a positive announcement in terms of capacity over the last 24 hours, but as you would know, and I'm not going to go through them with you now, we hear, you know, obviously we don't hear all the good stories because that's, you don't hear that, and people understand that, right? And we're not over focusing on the negative stuff, but the good stuff, that's fine, and we celebrate that too, but we do have to focus where there is gaps on this show. Would you sort of urge Minister Stephen Donnelly, who's acutely aware of the situation, just to have another look at Letterkenny University Hospital and the unique challenges it faces, and perhaps maybe look at ways to better resource it?
Yeah, look, and I know that's something the Minister is aware of, because I was aware of it when I was in health. I know he's aware of it too, that there are particular geographic and population and demographic issues for the Northwest, and particularly for Donegal in the Northwest. Your cancer services is an example of that, where actually there's a cross-border dimension with Altna Kelvin. So I think it is timely to look at how we resource, support and view Letterkenny Hospital, and how it fits into the Northwest region, including on that all-island basis. Because I do think there's a huge capacity there to look at how much more can be done between Derry and Donegal. I believe it in health, I believe it in education. There's also, I mean, as you rightly said, we are increasing bed capacity at Letterkenny University Hospital. We've seen an extra 50 beds delivered in the hospital between 2021 and this year, with another 72 planned. So that'll be an extra 122 additional beds. There is a real issue, I've got to be honest about this, there's a real issue with in certain therapy places, like a lot of people in the health, a lot of people accessing health services or relying on health services now will talk about a shortage of therapy posts, health and social care professionals. One of the things we're very eager to do is significantly ramp up the number of people we're training to work in the health service as well. We're again doing that on an all-island basis with medicine now, with nursing as well, and looking at opportunities to really harness the potential of ATU Donegal to actually train and place more people in Letterkenny Hospital too. So there is a lot of, I'm acutely aware of the situation. Yeah. I can point to good stats, as you say, but rightly we should focus on the areas in which we do need to do better.
Yeah, and I'm over time, but very quickly, pardon my ignorance, how, if there's a recruitment embargo, how do we provide extra beds? Because we could fill that hospital with 1 million beds, right? But it's like 4 to 5 staff per bed. So how, just explain to me, and pardon my ignorance, how we deliver beds in Letterkenny while there's an embargo on recruitment staff.
Because I think the embargo is often misrepresented, quite frankly. What the embargo, insofar as it is one, basically says is the HSE can hire a certain number, but no more. But what that does allow the HSE this year is to hire 2,200 more staff. There will be hundreds more nurses, many more doctors, speech and language therapists, OTs and the likes working in the health service at the end of this year compared to the end of last year. They've been given money to hire 2,200 extra staff into the Irish Health Service this year. Sometimes the way it's portrayed, you'd actually think they're not allowed to hire anyone, or the numbers are reducing. There'll be 2,200 more staff for the health service this year, and actually 3,000 when you include disability services.